God had pronounced judgment on the people here, as it is recorded for us by Hosea. And he was going to give them over to the hand of the Assyrians. And we see the reason for this. We find that in the last verse of the previous chapter. Verse 15, "Now I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early." And it would seem then, when you go on to read in the first three verses of the next chapter, of chapter 6 here, that there seems to be some desire to return, and "come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up," and so on. And so there seems to be some response to what the Lord had brought before them through his servant. And there seems to be some repentance for the sin and their sins that they had committed against the Lord. Now, for the Lord's people, even when God smites them and when God allows others to have the rule over them, as it were, and when he punishes or chastises them, we have to remember it is always for our own good. It is never to destroy his own people. But the purpose of it all is to bring them back to himself. Now, when any of the Lord's people sin and become aware of having sinned against the Lord, then when they know that, and they will know then, that they have grieved the Spirit of God, then there will be true repentance. That will always be with the children of God who are brought to see their need, who are brought to see their sin particularly, and maybe at a time of backsliding, and there will be a returning unto the Lord when they come to realize, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." And the moment a person truly repents, there will be, at that very moment as it were, there will be a sense that anew that God is a merciful God, that the Lord is one who always shows mercy and forgiveness. When there is true repentance, when there is a realization that I have sinned against the Lord. And friends, as there is a beginning of a communion season, it is profitable for us to seek tonight and today to consider where we stand before God and how we stand before God, and seek to humble ourselves in the way that we should as we look forward to a communion time. Now, the trouble with Israel was that they seemed to be continually, as you read through their history, seemed to be continually in a cycle of sin and repentance, and sin and repentance, and sin and repentance. And we see even from that itself that their repentance was falling short. It was not what it ought to be. And the Lord was aware of this. Sometimes, friends, we can repent or say we're repenting, have even signs of repentance in our lives, and it is simply a mockery in many ways. We know ourselves. But while we can hide our state from those around us, God knows. And God knows our heart. And the Lord here knows what is in the lives of those brought before us in this chapter. And he is aware that, as was the case so often, sadly, that their repentance was, as it were, but just skin deep. And so what happens is that they return to their old ways, like a dog returning to its vomit. Now, friends, such is a warning. Such situations are a warning to us all. When we look at our own lives and when we consider tonight at the beginning of our communion season, to consider, as I said earlier, how we stand before God and how does God see us tonight as we do so. If we are just Christians in name only, all we are doing is fooling ourselves because we cannot fool God. And so we see here that the Lord knows what's in their hearts. And sadly, it is the reality is that this is not just something that belongs to the Old Testament times or even to the New Testament accounts of people that we find there. It belongs to the truest will of God throughout the world tonight. And certainly, surely, in this congregation itself. There is, friends, with the truest will of God, there is still, is there not, seasons of sin and cycles of sin and repentance, how it is so often with us. And that is how it was here. And then so we see, despite what they're saying, we see here in our text in verse 4, the Lord is saying, "O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee?" And I would like us this evening, as the Lord enables us, to consider the truth of what we have here, seeking to apply it, of course, to ourselves, and to ask three questions. Well, the first two, at least, and we'll then come to the last one. But to state the two questions that I would like us to ask ourselves tonight. The first one is this: how nominal is your faith? And the second one is: how genuine is your repentance? How nominal is your faith? Or is our faith just a nominal faith? Well, here we have the Lord seeing what is in their hearts and speaking with reverence and with care. There is a sense here, as it were, that God was exasperated with them. And he's saying, "O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? You claim and you say that you have trust in me." That is what you seem to claim. You claim that I am the Lord your God. And yet, obviously, their lives didn't show it. Their lives showed something else. Now, it's not even as if the Lord is, you can say that as at other times, when he came down immediately, as it were, upon them with plagues and with chastisement. But you get also a sense, even as we read these words, don't you? You get the sense of the graciousness of the Lord as well. The long suffering of God. Oh, Ephraim. Oh, Judah. As he was addressing yourselves, any of us. And you could name anyone of his people here tonight, whatever your name is. Whether it be a John or a Mary or whoever. And he is saying that to you. And the Lord is speaking to us tonight. How nominal is our faith? Is my faith just a nominal faith, despite what you say? You claim to be believers, he is saying to them here, but really, are you really? Are you really what you claim to be? And here was Ephraim, the northern kingdom, who had turned their back on the true worship of God, who had taken on board many other false gods. And we had Judah. And Judah still had, in many ways, had all the forum. They had all the forum, but no true power of godliness. Isn't that a fearful thing, friends? If that is all we have, is just the forum of godliness. If all we have is just a forum of faith. And the Lord is challenging us with this word. Friends, like the Israelites, it may well be that you may well have begun well. It may well be that there are times when you seem to be so close to the Lord. And it may well be as you look back in your life that you can remember times when you were. But I ask you tonight, are you still the same? Are you still as obedient to the Word of God? Is your faith growing? Is your faith strengthening? Or is it true of you that, as is said earlier on here in the 4th chapter in verse 10, they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They have left off to take heed to the Lord. Oh, how at one time in your own experience, how you listened to His Word. How you were so sensitive to all that was said. And your ear, as it were, seemed to be so open to the Word of God. Is it still the same? Is that how you are tonight here at the beginning of a communion season? There were times when it seems that it was so obvious in your life that you had faith. There was a day maybe others could have said of you, as we read in the psalm, the Lord hath done great things for that person. I cannot deny it. Do they still say the same? Do they still see in your life something that is worth having? A day when it was so obvious that you were walking with God. A day maybe even when you excited in yourself this sense of walking with God. And maybe also excited it in others. A hope that there was a beginning of a new way of life with you. But now, just as in Hosea's day, there is a coldness. There's an indifference. Oh yes, there's an outward form, but no longer walking as you once did. And so you have to ask yourself, friend, if that is true of you tonight, is my faith genuine? Or is it nothing but a sham and nominal? Nominal faith, shallow faith. And dear friend, if you are not walking with the Lord as you should, don't make excuses, well, it's just the busyness of life. And once the communion gets going, I will get back into that place where I once had with Him. Friend, that is not walking in faith. That is not walking in faith. And if you are like that, you've got to ask yourself, is it true faith that I have indeed? You've got all the words. Remember, in Malachi we read the Lord saying, "Ye have wearied me. You have wearied the Lord with your words." There are so many, and as they say, they talk the talk. But where is walking the walk? Where is the Christian life? Where is the close walk with God? Where is that sense of awe and wonder with you as you have communion with the Lord? You see, friends, saying that we're believers doesn't make us believers. It doesn't make us believers. We have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work and His sacrifice. And when you consider His giving of Himself, and when you consider the way that He gave us all, even unto death. Nothing nominal there, friends. But a full commitment to do His Father's will. There's your example of how to follow the Lord. There's your example of how to walk in faith. You see, your faith is no faith whatsoever. If it's just a nominal faith. If it's just a pretend faith, an outward show, this show without excuse. The Lord had dealt with them time and time again. But hasn't He done the same with ourselves? How often has God dealt with us in mercy? How often when, friend, you knew, oh, if God was going to deal with me according to my sin today, I would be cast into hell. And you have known the mercy of God. and you resolve to walk in faith from then on, closer than you'd ever done before. And what has happened? Have you? And as if God is saying here, in one sense at least, it's as if he's saying, well, Ephraim and Judah, what more could I have done? Christian here tonight, what more could the Lord have done for you than what he has done? You see, friends, half-heartedness, nominalism, is a curse in the church. And it just shows that there is, you see, when we're half-hearted about something, it shows that we're not in the right spirit. And it certainly shows, as far as the Christian faith is concerned, that we're lacking in humiliation. And as we begin our communion season, how we need this, how we need to humble ourselves, not to be afraid to question and examine ourselves. Our faith should be a faith that is clear, a faith that is seen, a faith that says, I know in whom I have believed. And knowing that, walking with the Lord. Can you say that tonight? And mean it before God. What about your faith then? Is your faith a genuine or a nominal faith? You know, friend, in your own heart, what it is tonight. And then secondly, we can ask, leading on from that, how genuine is your repentance? Now repentance, we can all say, well, I remember when I was converted and, oh, I knew what it was to be a sinner. But you see, that's another day. How genuine is your repentance today? How genuine was your repentance yesterday? How genuine will it be if the Lord spares you till tomorrow? This will undoubtedly tell you about your standing before God. In one sense, we could say that it will tell you if you have faith even, because the two are so linked together. Ephraim and Judah had come to acknowledge their sin to some degree. And the Lord says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And then they say, oh, come, let us return unto the Lord. But friends, we realize as we read on from there, as we come to our text here, that much of what they said were but mere words. And there was no true repentance at all. You see, a person can say, and a person can repeat it over and over and over again, I'm a great sinner. I'm a terrible sinner. You can say that often enough, and you know, friend, you can say it and never feel it. It's one thing to say it. It is one thing to feel that you're a sinner. It's one thing to feel that you are the chief of sinners. It's one thing to humble ourselves and before God pour out our hearts and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Friends, let it not just be words with us. Oh, I'm repenting and I have repented. How often Israel professed repentance. Read down through the history. And you'll see it time and time and time again. But what did it do for them? How much did it change them? How long did it last? Remember your own time. The last time, and it may even have been today, I don't know, when you felt your sin before God. And you repented maybe of particular sins or a sin in your life. Did you feel a sinner or was it just words? Yes, they acknowledge so often we have sinned. They say, oh, we'll follow the Lord from now on. That's fine, friend, but where is the true repentance? Where is it? How is it seen? Promising so much, so often saying that this is what you're going to do. But then, what is true of our repentance? Well, surely there's something of that of what the Lord has here in this text. Your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. What is he saying here? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? The morning cloud, or the morning mist, if you like, the idea, it doesn't last long. When the sun rises, it disappears. And that's the picture we have here, something that doesn't last. And true repentance, friends, when it is true repentance arising from a heart that is humble before God, it goes on and on and on. You see, the picture here is of something that doesn't really do much good. And our goodness is not any real goodness at all if it is not done genuinely. What he's saying here is, and the Lord is saying to them, to Ephraim and to Judah, he is saying to them, your repentance is of nothing. It is of no consequence. It is not genuine. It's not something that lasts. As the morning cloud and as the early dew, it goeth away. It goeth away. What a fearful thing, friends, that if we are here tonight claiming that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross of Calvary for us, and yet that our repentance, having died for our sins, that our repentance is something that just is there for a moment and is gone in a moment. What a fearful thing that is. Something that doesn't go deep. Something that, as it were, is just lying on the surface. You see, what do we need then? What do we need for this genuine repentance? Well, surely we need a sense of our sin. And a sense of what sin is and what sin has done. And a sense particularly that is against the Lord. And to realize as we come into a communion season that what Christ suffered was because of our sin. Is it not true that we forget that far too often? We talk about sin as something just, well, just sin. But what is sin? What has been the result of our sin? The death of the Savior. Surely we should repent every day for that. And our repentance surely should be genuine. We need to see sin. We need to see it. You know, we need to have something of the Spirit. Remember Job. The Spirit of that godly man. From the depth of his heart, what did he say? Behold, I am vile. When was the last time? On your knees before God, you felt like that. Behold, I am vile, he says. Oh, friends, how far short our repentance falls. The need we have to come before God and to cast ourselves anew at his feet and plead for mercy and to ask ourselves, is my goodness, or is my repentance, or is my holiness, or is my faith in this sense, it is just as a morning cloud and as the early dew that passes away. Oh, you say, well, I can look back on my life and I know there was repentance there. At a certain time, maybe under a certain preaching, I know that it transformed my life, there was a change in my life. I was brought to see something of my sin. And it may well be that a person can go that far. And there can be even seen undoubtedly a change in a person's life. There may indeed that he was sorry for sinning against God. And that he saw in a measure something of sin. That it may well be that there was a sense of being penitent before God. But friend, is it just as the morning cloud. Do you still have that sense tonight? Do you still know what it is to be truly a sinner before God? There was a time when you were so concerned about your soul. A time when heaven and hell and the things of eternity were ever before you. A time when the thought even, oh, if I grieve the Spirit. And you were pained in your soul at the thought that you might have grieved the Spirit of God. And once you cried out, if not audibly in your heart, there was a pain and a cry at the thought of what your sins did in nailing Christ to that tree in your room instead. Oh, friend, how genuine is your repentance? Is that kind of sense of your sin still with you? Or is it something that's gone, maybe for years? Ephraim, Judah, what shall I do unto thee? What shall I do? What more could he have done for you, sinner? What more? How nominal is your faith? How genuine is your repentance? And finally, arising from that, surely, the question must arise, how sure am I that I am a Christian? Is it all just something that happened in the past? I was reading a story recently of a godly man who opened his Bible, and he had in his Bible, he was saying, a couple of sheets of paper, and in between the two sheets of paper, there were some dried flowers, you know, the kind of thing sometimes people put in to a heavy book. And he said as he looked at it, and the dried flowers, he says the colours were fading, but he could still see and he remembered a little of their beauty. He could still recognise something there. But then he said, when I look out the window, there's a beautiful garden out there. And he said, I've got roses and daisies and honeysuckles and beautiful flowers fresh before my eyes every day. And he says, I realise that's where life is, what I see today. And he was saying, they're making a picture that says some, those who profess to be Christians, and all they can do is go back to something that seems now to be so dry and lifeless even. And maybe they even point to a text here and there and say, oh, I remember that's the text the Lord used to convert me. But it's just a dry memorial, you see. It's just a dry memorial of a past experience, and there's no life in it. And dear friends, we need to have life in us today. It's not enough what happened to us once. It's an ongoing thing with the Lord, walking with God. And none of us should be content with just looking back and saying, yes, I know. I know there are times when we can have comfort from, well, I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I once was. But no Christian should be content with that. There is a need to be lively and have life in us today. And the Word of God should be alive to us today. Not just as a dry memorial, not just a past experience with us. Friends, our faith, our Christianity, if it is faith or Christianity at all, should be alive and should be blossoming today. Not something that's dying. We mustn't rest on past stirrings. That's not enough. Unless those stirrings, friend, and there are many people, you know very well yourselves, that conviction is not conversion. And many people have been convicted and have stayed convicted, yes, for weeks and months and years, who have never come to faith. And we mustn't just lay hold of past strivings. Unless that has brought you into union with Christ, it will be of no avail, and at the last day, you'll be condemned for it. Am I a Christian tonight? How do you feel about your need tonight for being prepared for death as you once did? Are you somebody here tonight claiming to be a Christian, but you know that particular sins are still, as it were, being dominant in your life? This was true of Ephraim of Judah. They were saying all these things, but there were false gods in their lives. They were doing the things of the world. Could that be true of yourself? Do you believe tonight that the Lord is at work in your life? Are you as much in love with Christ tonight as you once were? Is His Word still alive to you? Does the Bible still speak to your soul as it once did? Friend, remember when you opened the Bible, and it doesn't matter where it was, it seemed that it was alive and you found something in it that fed your soul and brought you to your knees, tears of repentance, joy in the Lord all mixed together. Where are these days gone? Where are they gone? Living by the Word. No Christian lives, friends, apart from the Word of God. As Matthew Henry put it, the Word will be the death of sin or the death of the sinner. It is one or the other. Oh, friends, let us not fool ourselves. If our goodness is as the morning cloud and the early dew that goes away, what is the point in being hypocritical about it? It is the nature of the hypocrite that through their hypocrisy indeed, they take to themselves the promise of God which don't belong to them. Let us examine ourselves in case we are doing that. In case all we have is like the rain falling on a stone, wet for a while, it soon dries up. Oh, you see, I remember days of tears under the gospel. Praise God for that, that it had that effect on you. But is that a past memory? Or do you know something of being brought to repentance in these past days and weeks in your life? Oh, these early tears. I'm sure the genuine Christian here longs to have them again. But friend, if all they are is just early tears that soon dried up like summer showers, God is saying, oh, what shall I do unto thee? What shall I do? What a fearful thing that anyone in this congregation who heard so much, who experienced so many blessings under the hand of God, and that you have not grown in faith or closer to the Lord. Indeed, what a fearful thing that some who have been stirred up in the past under the hand of the Lord, maybe just in the goodness of God, in common grace of God, that now, what a fearful thing that you should be lost, having all these blessings. And here are Ephraim and Judah, oh, so many blessings. And yet at the end of the day, God is saying to them, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with you? Despite this, and oh, come and let us return to the Lord. Friend, if we are saying tonight, and if you are saying here tonight at the beginning of a communion season, oh, let me return to the Lord. Oh, friend, don't just say it, but do it. Desire it, and by God's grace, He will enable you to do that. If you are here tonight and you have a good hope that you have been saved, beware, friends, of coldness. Beware of being drawn aside by the world. Beware of going back to the old ways. Beware of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Things that you thought you had left behind. Beware that they don't make you unfruitful and slothful and compromising followers of the Lord Jesus. That's what happened with Judah and Ephraim. They were thrown away by the false nations around them and the false gods. Never think, friend, oh, that won't happen to me. Beware and be ready. And may I say also in conclusion, don't imagine, well, I've begun. Friend, you haven't finished yet. Remember Lot's wife. She took steps out of Sodom, but she never reached the end. She never reached the place of safety. Don't be content beginning and leaving it there. Don't be content to say, well, I remember. Make your calling and election sure. Otherwise, oh, what a thought that God, at the end of the day, will pronounce this over you. Ephraim and Judah, your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Frightening words. Yes, but the words of God, see them as the words of God in mercy tonight to bring you to yourself and so bring you back to the Lord. Let us pray. O eternal God, Thou knowest that we are not what we ought to be. And Thou knowest, O Lord, that in gatherings such as these, that we can, as it were, hide behind others, and that we can be carried along in the throng going up to the temple. We pray, gracious God, that we would recognize that Thou dost know us, and our hearts are open before Thee. Help us then, O Lord, then tonight to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, to repent of our sin. Oh, that our repentance would be a repentance that would be genuine indeed, and that we would walk with Thee humbly at the beginning of our commune season, desiring that Thou would continue to have mercy upon our souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen.